Make a better connection with your friends on Facebook. Use the hottest voice conferencing service around. Call from TalkShoe.com. That's Talk, like I'm doing now, and Shoe, as on your feet.com.
PHPBB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. For other great technology podcasts, check out techpodcasts.com. Hello, welcome to PHPBB Weekly, episode number 76. PHPBB Weekly, of course, the live podcast covering the PHPBB bulletin board software at phpbb.com. And this is a very special edition of PHPBB Weekly because we have been covering the conventions and we are now into the second of the three big conventions. Obviously, the Democratic Convention in Denver is over. Now we are here live at the Freenode IRC Convention Center, which is, and this is true, based in Houston, Texas. That's actually where Freenode is based. And, of course, other satellite locations worldwide where the great big Mod Authors Convention is happening right now. And, of course, the delegates are showing up, and they'll be doing a roll call vote soon. We do not know yet who the Mod Team's nominee for president is going to be yet. We should find out. And, of course, Eric has yet to select his vice presidential pick. We're going to see what the deal is. But we're here with the best political modding team in the universe today to comment on the speeches and the presentations and analyze everything here. And Paul is now telling me he can slap me three times at the same time now. But let's go around and introduce our political modding team that will be covering the convention today. Coming live from the satellite location in Spokane, Washington, is our very own David Lewis.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
Also known as Highway of Life.
Mm-hmm. I'm coming from the satellite location in San Francisco, California. I'm Douglas Bell. And I do not remember where Paul hails from.
The Netherlands.
Sorry?
The Netherlands.
Netherlands. Yes. The international satellite location for this convention. Paul Sawyer.
Yes.
I pronounced it correctly.
It's not correctly, but okay.
All right, well, what is it? How is it?
It's Sawyer.
So but, here.
Yes, Sawyer is the name how it's said in the American. Ah. So
I was calling you So Here at London
yes.
Vision. Was
yes.
Okay. Yes. All right. And of course, for our special live analysis coverage of the convention, we are being brought to you by the BBBC. That's the Bulletin Board Broadcasting Company. I couldn't resist. This is great. For some reason, every other major network has ignored this convention. They're going from Denver straight to St. Paul without coming through to the Mod Authors Convention. This is by far the most important convention in the world right now because it's happening live as we speak now. We're getting ahead of myself because we have to go through the normal bit of housekeeping first. So, this is a live episode of PHPBB Weekly. We have a lot of people joining us in the chat room right now, and we really appreciate it. So far, I promise I'm going to stop with the parody stuff. But if you'd like to share your opinions, if you're in the chat room, please feel free to do so. We'll be keeping a close eye on that as well. Many people have also been following the Mod Authors Convention in the phpbb-mod chat room on irc.freenode.net. Right now is supposed to be a session on modding for phpbb3 and best practices that David is supposed to be running, but he's playing hooky right now to join us on here. And I don't know how he's getting away with it.
It's a two-hour session. I know it. With what I have to type, it takes more than an hour, but That's okay.
Tell everyone to listen on here, and we'll do. You'll do the session via the show, I guess. If you'd like to, if you'd like to call in on the show, the number to call is 724-444-7444. The call ID number is 12418. Toll charges may apply, but then of course there's also an SIP client you can use. If there's other ways you can call in. There's our wonderful chat room. You can also stream live via our website, phpbbweekly.net. And last but not least, PHPBB Weekly is sponsored, as always, by GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you can hold an online meeting from your computer so that everyone can log you on to GoToMeeting.com during a conference call. And they can see your computer desktop on their computer screen. And whether you're in the office and someone else is at the convention in Denver, someone else is at the convention in St. Paul, someone else is at the convention on Mars, it doesn't matter where you are, you can all call it together. It has a fully integrated voice over IP, so you can talk with each other, you can present things to each other free, well, not for free, but it's online, you can get more done in less time without having to drive or fly anywhere. And so you can, if you want to give that a try, GoToMeeting.com/techpodcasts. Go there. You can get a free 30-day trial. So, the Mod Authors Convention is now two-thirds of the way over. And so, I'm going to ask David and Paul to sort of give us a rundown about of how the convention's gone so far.
I like to think of it as two-thirds of the way completed.
Okay.
Now, of course, I know that Paul has been up for the last 7 hours since I've been gone.
8 hours, I think it's already.
Yeah.
A while. Yes.
I was up at 10 a.m. this morning, and it's now 6, so.
6 p.m.?
Yes.
Yeah. And, of course, it's 9 a.m. here. I left at around 2 a.m., I think, or pretty close to it.
Yes.
For a while.
So I've been gone for about 7 hours or so.
I've actually not been watching. I've hardly seen most of it. You know, I've sort of been paying attention just to the big speeches. I haven't really been very big speeches. I was watching the last hour before the show started, the session on ModX. And interestingly enough, it doesn't seem like it's been as active as I remember it having been last year.
It was this, well, I was here, wasn't it really active? There was some small discussion about several things, but it wasn't really active with discussions. I think it was, if I look what I've seen for now, last year more active as this year. I'm not sure how it was last night.
Last night it was very active during the best practices. Of course, I was talking a lot, so there was a lot of questions and stuff, and we went through best practices. Actually, it was kind of interesting because I started late on best practices because I was out riding horses with another mod author who's joined us for the mod convention. But we got back and started, but there were some people who were thinking that best practices was like coding guidelines. So I'm like, no.
It could be.
What's that?
It could be.
Yeah. It can be, certainly that's part of it, but that's code formatting, really. It's not like best practices for coding. Best practices for coding would be like, what's best for scalability, what's best for compatibility, what's best for security, you know, coding concepts that will be able to adhere to those various things, which I...
Well, you know what, when you were asking me about what should be discussed at the Mod Authors Convention about a week ago, I was discussing a bit of this with you and how modding for PHP-ABB3 really is very different from modding with PHP-ABB2, partially because there's so many classes and things in PHP-ABB3, and there's a lot more instances in PHP-ABB3 where there are things sort of built to expect mods to come in. Like if for the admin panel, there's the whole modules set up for the admin panel, the moderators, user control panel, and things like that. And so that, a lot of that kind of requires a bit more explanation about how you tie into some of these. I need a noun for this, but that PHP-ABB3 offers. Mm-hmm. Does this sort of make sense? Because I don't think it did.
Yeah, so, well, again, last night we had a pretty good amount of conversation, which I was surprised with because I knew that a lot of our audience would be in Europe, and being at about 10, 11 p.m. last night, it would have been pretty late in Europe.
Well, early morning
but
for
we,
them.
Yeah, but we did have a pretty good number of people here in the U.S. who were joined us, so that was good.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yes, I don't remember. I know that I was just a user the last time we did the Mod Authors Convention, and I was there for most of the time asking a lot of questions, mm-hmm. but I don't remember how many people were attending. Paul, do you remember?
No, not exactly, but I think it don't is really different as with this year. I think the number of people attending is the same around.
It seems a lot. It seemed like it was a bit bigger last year. There seemed to be a lot more guests, people that were signing in as guests, whereas this year it sort of hovered around between 40 and 50 people. So from what I've seen, that is, from the two times I've been on. Right now there's 44 users in the PBBMod chat room, and quite frankly, a lot of them are channel ops.
Yes, but I'm already three times in the channel, so that's...
Yes, Paul.
It's also...
Oh, man.
Yeah. But again, I don't remember how many were here last year. I don't know.
No, I don't think we have the numbers for the last year, how many members there are exactly. So I think that's just a wild guess how many members there are really. But I think it will not really differ from last year or this year.
Yeah.
That's pretty different. I don't even remember who was actually there last year, except for mod team members, because I know I was picking Smithy DLL's brain quite a bit.
That was Smithy was, of course, handling last year the complete convention, so that's... And last year, I think I was also there all the time, but not sure...
You were there most of the time, yeah. I had a lot of questions about Mod X, because it was kind of a new thing. And
absolutely.
They kept telling me, I'll ask... I kept thinking of new questions about Mod X right when they would, Smithy would leave, I would think of all the questions asked, and they were all like, ask Smithy.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah.
I also, that's not different from last year. There are this year, again, a lot of questions about Mod X and that kind of related stuff. That's...
Mm-hmm. Now, last year, there was sort of a big announcement that took place at last year's Mod Authors Convention. It was last year that it was that I believe it was Paul that announced the opening of the new mod database. And I remember that because I took advantage of that, submitted a mod to the mod database, found out that it was still kind of buggy, and we sort of spent a lot of time discussing some of the bugs in there. But that was sort of the big announcement that came out last year. Have there been any really big announcements this year?
This year there wasn't any big announcements yet.
Other than the fact that last week the modification pre-validator was released to the public. And Paul, you alluded to that in the chat room last week on our show.
Yes. I decided myself to release the pre-validator just before the convention, so the users already can try the validator before the convention was and can ask questions at the convention itself. So we had a bit of adventures that the users already tried it and not that they announced it at the convention and then they are going to try it.
Since we haven't talked at all about this pre-validator yet on the show, could you sort of give us an idea of how it works and what it does?
It checks for basic problems within the modification. You submit a zip package to the pre-validator, and then it checks first for if you are using the latest Mod X version and if it's valid and that kind of things. After that, it goes checking all PHP files for using of certain functions and if it correctly have in the PHP and that kind of things. And from that, it made a small report.
So this is sort of similar to the MEAL, that tool that was released about a year ago, if I recall.
Yes. Yeah, a bit longer, but yes, it replaces MEAL.
Mm-hmm. However, this seems to be more of an online-based validator.
Yes, it's completely online-based. It's also written in PHP.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty cool tool. I was trying it out last night, and mainly because I wanted to see how to get that header error that not everybody was complaining about. Well, we were seeing some support questions and bug reports come in with this weird header error, and it was something that we actually discussed at London Vision with David M.J., one of the developers, and who found out that it was a certain way that the Mac OS X GUI created their archive, which has the zip format, but it's not an actual zip archive in the sense that we would think of it as.
Mm-hmm.
It's an archive for Mac OS X. And so I was trying different tools on there to see what worked and what doesn't. I found really that the only thing that didn't work was the archive created by the Mac OS X Finder.
Yeah.
So like you can use the built-in GUI, or I'm sorry, the built-in Unix command for zipping. You can also use any clean archive utility or something like that. So that was what I was testing last night. I was trying all these different methods and checking to see which ones broke and which ones didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that pretty much anything that was created not using the archive function within the Finder that would work.
Yeah,
so,
I remember when I was on the mod team, it was before MEAL went public, and I was sort of David Smith's chief Mac tester on that. And so sometimes, and I don't think it worked quite the same way it worked on Windows for me, but I was able to at least get it to make reports usually for those things.
Yes. And I'm not sure how we are going to really fix that, but it needs to be fixed. Maybe we are just going to use the command line zip for commands to unzip it instead of using phpbb to unzip the file. But I'm not sure yet about that. Need to look deeper into it, what the exact reason is and how we can fix it easily.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the difficulty with OS X is, and I had so many issues with this when I was doing mods full time, is because Mac OS X has these DS store files that it creates,
mm-hmm.
and that's to store information about how you display the windows. But in order to get around that, I actually had to sort of cheat. I actually used my FTP client, because that only creates those files when you go to something somewhere in Finder. And, of course, they're invisible to Finder. So I used my FTP client, turned it on where I could actually view those DS store files, deleted them via the FTP client, and actually archived it via my FTP client. And that actually created an archive without any of those troublesome files.
You make everything very difficult.
Yes, I do. But I find ways to make things work.
I know an easier way.
Yeah.
Just buy a normal computer.
No.
Everything.
There's a couple of things. First of all, the clean archive application already cleans out that stuff. It's like Windows. Windows creates the same sort of files. People don't know about it, but Windows definitely creates the same sort of files. They're hidden though, so a lot of people don't know about them. Just the same as the DS store files are hidden, so a lot of people don't know about them.
Yeah.
But both OSs do create the same sort of files. And I don't know about Windows, but in Unix and Linux, you know, can of course go to command line and delete those files from there and then package up your mod. Alternatively, you can just use a clean archive application, which does package up the mods without those hidden files. So,
the thing I always found annoying is that it's hard to tell. There are a gazillion tools I was researching back then to figure out how to get rid of those DS store files, and I'd try them, but they claim to delete them, but then how do you really know? How do you know that they're not there and that they haven't something OS X hasn't then magically made them reappear again? They have no idea they're hidden.
If you first of all. there's a couple things that you can do. I have all hidden files shown on my computer. You can show hidden files easily enough. It's in the preferences. And so if you, you know, if you want to see if those files are created, you could just go look. Now, opening up a window doesn't create a file. It's moving something around, copying, throwing something in the trash that will create that sort of file. So, like, if you go into the command line and you delete that file, it's not going to just recreate itself. Now, if you, through the Finder, throw the DS store file into the trash, it will recreate itself because you just threw something in the trash from that directory. So then it, you know, there's no point in deleting it. But those tools, the DS store removers and the clean archives, they do remove the DS store files. And I can tell you from experience, because like I said, I'm showing all hidden files on my computer by default so I can see them. But yes, it does remove those, and it creates a clean archive. And I tested it, like I said last night. I tested various methods in the with MPV, the MonPrev validator, and they all worked as long as I didn't use the Finder built-in archive function, which, like I said, is not a true archive, or that's not a true zip archive. It's an archive for Mac OS X.
Mm-hmm. So moving on, there was one session I did not get to attend either time that it was on was the first session done during WildOS Convention. I'm curious about this because this is on feedback suggestions and the future of modding. And so I'd be curious to know, is there anything that interesting that came out of that session?
I would say probably the consensus thing that came out from everybody that I heard was that everybody's pretty interested in this validation helpers or junior validators concept that's come out recently.
What's this? I've never heard of it.
It's something that XReaction posted in the blog discussion topic, and I ended up splitting it to its own topic because it was pretty separate. But it was an idea that a couple of the mod authors had where junior validators would basically be able to assist the mod team in some way without doing a complete validation themselves, but to be able to assist the mod team in validation so that it would make mod validations go faster.
Yeah.
Where, like, they could take care of, say, testing mods, and then that way, you know, the mod – okay, I'll give you an example. Like, they could test the mod, just make sure that it's packaged correctly. So that would include installing it and testing it, the mod itself. If those things pass, then they would move it on to the mod team, and then what has the mod team left to do? Pretty much just the line-by-line checking.
That's the very technical part.
That's the most difficult part. Yeah, definitely. So you're doing your security check and the checking, and so you've already run, assumably the junior validator would have run it through the mod pre-validator, which is the instant deny. Mm-hmm. That's our instant deny now. So if you run it through mod pre-validator and there are errors and warnings that come up, and you still submit your mod without changing any of those, it's going to be instant denied.
I like this, and here's why. When I was on the mod team, I was a validator. The most tedious part of the process for me actually was not the line by line reading. It was having to install it because you'd have to install mods on a vanilla PHPBB installation. And at that time, we were also running them through EasyMod to make sure that they were good. But that means that any time I had to install another mod, I had to reinstall PHPBB. I had to reinstall EasyMod in order to go through that again. And of course, there were some mod team members that had these elaborate ways of automating that process that kind of depended on you having your own server. And I'm just using the same shared hosting I use for my blog and stuff. So I always found that to be the most tedious part, having to go through all that stuff just to install the mod, make sure it installs, make sure it works.
I'm sorry, Paul, go ahead.
That's also one of the reasons why we switched currently already the validation, the line-by-line validation, and the testing from each other. In most of the cases when someone validates a mod, he only does the line-by-line validation. Then the set status of the mod to testing, and someone else, mostly Josh, tests the mod itself. And not the same person is testing the mod as before when you were on the team.
Well, there you go. So you guys have sort of now, I guess, divided the validation up into steps.
Yes.
I like that.
We divided it already in steps. And that's also why it's not that difficult to add the junior validators into the validation process because it's already divided into three steps: the pre-validation, the line-by-line validation, and the testing part.
Okay, and see, I really like that because not only that, but it also helps to have multiple people looking at the mod. Because when I was on the mod team, that was sort of the idea. It's good to have multiple people looking at the mod, but it's usually pretty much one person doing most of the work, leave it in the mod queue for a while, see if anyone else wanted to say anything about it, and if it had sat there long enough, we would sort of say, okay, let's approve it or deny it.
Yes.
I really like that new step, and it's very interesting.
Go ahead.
So that was one reason. Not the main reason. The main reason was because of Josh was developing Blinky. But that one was also a reason that we now have still that dividing between the steps. And I think it's pretty good that more Azan people look at one modification instead of only one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dave, I know David's been waiting to say something.
Bursting at the seams here, yeah. Well, first of all, I wanted to back up a little bit on the testing and installation process that we use, and maybe this would benefit.
There's a question in the chat room, too, about why testing is done after line by line. You can probably hit on that.
Yeah, now, of course, if we did mod... junior validators, I should say. I'm sure the process would change. And again, I want to emphasize the fact that no decision has been made on the junior validators. We may or may not do junior validators, but we'll still talk about it because it's
it's such a great idea. I love it.
To be honest, it is something that the mod team has discussed. Mm-hmm. I went up and pulled a topic from before I joined the teams, it was being discussed. Hmm. So obviously, you know, it's been thought about for a while, and there's a lot of problems that we've thought of that come up, and that's probably why we haven't done it yet. But, you know, it's still in discussion, and so, you know, but no decision has been made on it. We may or we may not do it. So we don't know yet. Obviously, if that does happen, there will be some announcements and stuff. But if we do go with these junior validators, that process would change to installing and testing first, because it would be something that they would do, and then when it got to us, then we would do the it would be instant deny installing and testing, and then when it gets to us, we would do the line by line validation. But one of the ways that you can test a mod quickly, and especially for the mod team that does this, there's a couple things that you can do. First of all, Igor, Evilheart, created a tool that basically does quick installs of PHPBB. So he uses that to do, you know, just one click, completely install a new board, new setup, whatever you need.
Now, is that server-based, or is that something like, I'm on shared hosting, is that something that could be used on a shared hosting type of thing? Or?
It's something that you should use on your local host, actually.
Oh, so like on local computer.
Yeah, well, I mean, because it's going to be a lot easier. For example, you know, if you have to test every mod by uploading it to your server, uh-huh. It's going to be a little painful.
And, I thought that pain. Well, that's why I remember someone got me set up using the thing called MAMP. It's like LAMP, but for Mac, and so it's all like...
Yeah, it's Mac, Apache, MySQL,
PHP. Yeah.
Right, yeah, and I use it. We actually, that is the MAMP Pro Power Star Trek Guide. It's basically the server version of MAMP. It's a commercial version, but it's.
Do you have your own server for Star Trek Guide, or do you have it on some shared hosting somewhere?
No, it's this. Our server on Star Trek Guide is our own server. It's co-location hosted, and so we use that. You know, we have our own control panel and whatnot that we go through, and we use MAMP Pro for that, and it just makes it a little bit easier to use and easier to upgrade. So I don't have to take down the server to completely install a new version of PHP, MySQL, or Apache or whatever. I just drag and drop, and instantly new. So it's kind of cool. But I still do all my development, all my testing, everything is done locally because your top-down posted XAMPP, WAMP, EasyPHP, and LAMP, it depends on what operating system you're running. For Macintosh, you would obviously use either MAMP or you would use XAMPP. That's XAMPP, I believe.
You know what, David? With all these different amps going around, you're going to need a stamp to get them all straightened out.
Yeah, but and then of course with Windows there's XAMPP, there's WAMP, and then there's EasyPHP. I usually use WAMP, which is Windows Apache MySQL PHP.
Paul wants to talk. Go ahead. He's in the chat room. We'll tell you if she's.
Yes, a question from the chat room. Why is testing done after line-by-line validation? I'm not exactly sure about the answer. It was already in this way when I joined the teams 2 years ago. I think only some really old mod team members really can answer the question. I'm not sure actually why it's done, because it's not a good reason, or not a good way indeed, of doing it after the line-by-line validation, because most problems currently are at the testing and installing stage. So I think that's something we really can change within our process, and I'm not sure why we didn't change that already.
In my opinion, I think it could, you could say it for either way, because they're both kind of big things, but then again, the only real thing that you guys have to do first is the pre-validation, because that's where the insta-deny comes from. If you guys,
yes,
if it passed the the pre-validation requirements and you guys tested it first and found out that it wasn't working, well, you still have to go through the line by line, because you wouldn't want to deny it for it just not working and then having to later go through line by line and find even more problems. So I don't think either way, you're still going to be doing testing and line by line no matter what, because if it's not going to be something that's instant enough.
Yes, currently, when Ezra found a lot of problems with the line by line validation, we just skipped the testing and denied directly.
Really?
So, yes. It's
I guess when there's problems with the line by line validation, that would make it inevitable that it would not work correctly when you stop.
That happened with things like security issues if we find some SQL injection or something, we can decide to not test it directly and deny it, and because we after that need again to validate it fully. So in that cases, we just don't test it because we know already we need to test it again.
Well, Dave and I have talked about before how one of the goals is to try to get as many things as possible identified the first time through, so that hopefully a mod doesn't have to go through the database more than twice. Mod in the queue,
Yes, but in some cases it's just if there's already a security issue, then the chance is too large that it's not working. So
Paul and I are talking and helping David have a chance to type in the gen of mod team chat.
I don't see anything from there, so that's probably.
That's because I'm pre-typing it up this time, so that there's not big dead air spots in between.
There is a big dead air spot. Nothing's been said in the convention for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, I'm going to flood it in just a few minutes.
Oh, I can't wait. While you're flooded, then we can talk about it.
In the secret channels, there's also nothing said there, so.
So for junior validators, I guess you guys are obviously still talking about it, but do you think we'll be hearing more about that really soon, or what do you think?
We are still discussing the exact way of how we're doing it, but at that moment I joined the team 2 years ago, there was already a discussion about some things the same. So I'm not sure in what time span we will see that really. That
it probably will depend on how the bureaucracy would be taken care of. Like, would it be would those junior validators be part of the mod team or some kind of
a
team, like the QA team is not a full team or what the deal is?
That
like
kind
the
of QA team.
Yes.
What'd you say, David?
That kind of.
It would be like the QA team.
Ah.
Yeah. But there are a lot of things that needed to be discussed with that is. So that's not really easy to say a date really on when we are going to implement it, because there also need to be made changes to the modification database. Mm-hmm. That's
obviously to allow other people to get into it.
Right.
Yes.
I find it interesting how it's kind of similar in a way to the community coding projects that the development team used in a way to find new developers, and that's how they ended up getting
David M.J. and Naderman.
Exactly. And so this could, in a way, you could almost use this junior validators thing to find people who could potentially become full senior validators, I guess you could call it.
Yes, that's also one of the things we discussed, if that how we are that going to introduce exactly. And as you see in the mod writers discussion, there was last night already posted a topic with wanted mod validators. So you can already apply for mod validator itself. And how we, probably when there is something for junior of a mod validators, we will post the same kind of topic at the mod writers discussion. And probably also the announcement forum then.
Okay, well, is there anything else that you guys were talking about in the suggestions or future of modding arena?
There was a couple other things, but mainly that was really the big issue for everybody that was in the discussion during that session. Now, I wasn't in that session at 5 a.m. this morning, obviously. So I don't know what we discussed then.
Paul, you would have been there this morning. It was about 4 hours ago.
No, I wasn't there.
Oh, you were.
I was there, but I didn't discuss anything. I was busy with homework.
Basically, well, one of the things that we wanted to really point out to mod authors is that the mod team is very, very open to feedback and suggestions, as everybody probably figured out from
the blog post.
which turned into one of the largest discussions.
A really big set of feedback and discussion, yes.
Yes, so, you know, obviously the mod team is definitely very open to the mod community, getting feedback from them and everything. So I wanted just to encourage mod authors that if they had ideas, suggestions, feedback, or whatever, they can open new topics in the mod authors discussion and discuss something like so many have already done, like Edit Reaction talking about the junior validators and coming up with just new ideas like that. And it's like, you know, don't be afraid to come up with new ideas like that. It doesn't matter whether we'll implement them or not.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that, you know, whatever we can do to that might improve PHPBB in some way, or the mod team, the mod validation process, the mod database, whatever it might be, whatever that can be, you know, yeah, or mod X, you know, it doesn't matter, documentation. There was actually a couple things that were kind of announced, but at this Mod Authors Convention, but not really like last year, not like big surprise, shock, you know, hello, this is new.
Such as?
The wiki.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to ask you about that, actually.
It still hasn't been officially announced yet. Obviously, it's open to the public. It's been open to the public for a little while now, but it hasn't been officially announced yet. You should see an announcement come up sometime fairly soon.
But people can go in now and create an account and start editing already?
Yeah. And already some mod authors have started to do that. So we've seen some documentation go in there, and we'll, you know, this is the same wiki that was on Nederman's site. If you remember, he had his OlympusWiki.Nederman.de.
I didn't know that.
And there were several people who were pretty active in that, you know, getting documentation on there. So when we moved that wiki over to phbbb.com, there was already a good amount of documentation. And of course, Will Huff graciously provided the style. I think I talked about this last week, in fact.
Talked about it a bit last week, but now it's kind of early. I just registered mine there, by the way.
Yeah, now what we want to do, of course, is encourage mod authors to register and start putting documentation on there. It's like, you know, whatever part of PHPBB you're modding, you have some experience in. You understand how that part of the code, maybe the posting API works or whatever it might be, and it can be a good idea to go in and create some documentation on it. So you can create tutorials, you can document how that code works, you can talk about you can basically document how certain parts of the code work, so that somebody trying to figure out something within the code or trying to figure out how to do something can go into the decoding documentation and they can do that. One great reason that it's a wiki instead of just like a page is because code changes, and therefore the documentation must change with it as well. And, of course, documentation can always expand, and making the wiki expandable for the mod community makes it so that other people can very easily expand that. And so, you know, it's not all reliant on the mod team to provide that documentation, because we know how that is. You know, while we have provided some documentation, it's been kind of small. And
yes.
You know, we've had some complaints from mod authors going, you know, there's not really enough documentation here to get what's going on.
Yeah.
So,
and the wiki is also it's not only from remote modifications team, but also from development team itself. We work together with each other to provide the wiki. And it's not only from the modifications team.
Now, of course, it's a coding documentation. It's not for like how to lock a topic or, you know, how to use the moderator control panel. It's not user documentation.
So you're still going to be so this is only going to be for mod authors then? Or
No. It's for developers, for anybody developing or interested in the code of PHPBB3.
Does this mean that styles authors could find a home here? Or
yes, style authors could find a home there. Definitely. And already there is style changes between like 3.0.0 to 3.0.1 and 3.0.1 to 3.0.2. Those are already listed on there.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. In my opinion, it seems odd that you guys are going with a wiki approach for mod and styles documentation, yet for general PHPBB stuff, you guys are still sticking with a knowledge base.
Okay, you meant coding documentation is not just mod and style documentation; it's coding documentation.
Coding documentation, but you're still doing for main PHPBB stuff. You're still using the knowledge base instead.
That might be a question that's better for the support team, really.
The wiki is fine for now, just mainly based for coding documentation. So examples how to code something and that kind of things, and not meant for support questions.
Yeah, support.
I'm not sure how the support team, or even if they discussed already something about that, will handle that. But I don't think it's currently not meant for that.
Yeah, and I know that Mike Acidburn, when I was speaking to him, he wanted to make sure it was quite clear that he did not want the wiki to be a user support documentation. He said that it would be much better if that remains documentation that the support team actually creates, or people that are very active in support obviously can create knowledge base articles and whatnot for support, but that he did not want the wiki, or that basically support documentation, user documentation is not best in a wiki environment.
Yeah. I guess I sort of feel like I'm still not quite happy with the knowledge base yet, and I'm very, very picky about the new PHPBB.com ever since it came out a year and a half ago. But I miss how the old knowledge base let you sort of drill down by category and stuff, and this current one doesn't at all. It's a little bit of a, you know, whatever.
And because it's hard to use, because I mean, I'm sure the support team is open to suggestions. You know, that's kind of their realm.
Yeah. Okay, make it so that I don't get a big alphabetical list of articles. Instead, make it easy for me to go drill down to categories and get some more articles in there, you know?
Yeah. Like I said, that's pretty well their realm, but I'm sure it's...
Let's get back to mods. Yeah.
Yes.
Other than the wiki, is there anything else that's going to be... You guys, obviously, we've talked a bit about on this podcast ways that the mods documentation can be improved. Is the wiki the only plan you guys have for this, or you guys have any other things to improve mod documentation coming down the road? Stunned silence.
That's something for David, so I'm not going to tell anything about it.
David, he's passed the buck to you.
Okay, so you're talking about mod documentation beyond the wiki?
Yes. Is that a plan, or are you guys going to be focusing on the wiki from here on out?
Well, we'll still do both. Obviously, if you look at the new modifications documentation page, phpbb.com/mods, you can see several things that are on there for like writing mods, introduction, basics on writing modifications for PHPBB, coding guidelines, programming techniques, application to help with mod creation, creating modification install file, packaging a modification, and of course the mod pre-validator. Something like the introduction, which is basics on writing modifications for PHPBB and also programming techniques, those are still going to be documentation that are on phpbb.com. And we may, you know, there's quite a bit of documentation that's already there. I mean, if you click on, for example, the programming techniques,
pretty big thing that looks like a big manual.
It is. It really is a big manual.
Oh,
and
I don't like it.
You know, so, yeah, me neither. I don't think it's best for browsing, but it is there, and it is something that you can use to assist you in building documentation and, of course, creating modics and whatnot. So all that is there and can be used. It's created using DocBlock or DocBook.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure a lot of this stuff will end up being duplicated into the wiki because the wiki is going to be easy to search, easy to browse. And currently, I can't ever remember a time where and I have no idea why, but for some reason Google doesn't seem to spider this text or what. I don't know what it is, but I have never seen it come up in a Google search, as weird as that is.
Yeah, Mr. Search Engine Optimization Guru, maybe you should figure out what's wrong here.
And I should, but I haven't had the time to do it. But I definitely should, because it's all human readable stuff. There's not really anything dynamic there,
mm-hmm.
most part. But I don't know. I don't know why that is. But you know, it again, the documentation is there, and that won't be completely removed. There will still be some documentation on basics for body modifications, programming techniques, and stuff like that. But I think the wiki will become a very integral part as that grows, because that will be a very, very useful resource for anybody developing for PHPBB, not just mod authors, but application developers, bridge developers. You know, I'm talking about like the bridge developers who develop Rockbridge for between Joomla and PHPBB, or MediaWiki and PHPBB, WordPress, Coppermine, you know, whatever it might be, whatever third-party OSS application it might be, who create a bridge between the two, they're going to want to look at a lot of this documentation to see exactly how PHPBB runs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, right now, for the past hour, or so you've supposedly been having to do a session on modding for PHP, BB3, and best practices, and we only briefly touched that at the beginning of the podcast. But I remember last night they were talking about how the kind of stuff you were posting is almost as if you were writing a book or something for it. you were planning to flood that. Right about now.
Yeah, that's the, of course, this time I pre-typed some stuff, then I was just typing it on the fly, and everybody's like, are you pre-typing this? No, I'm not, I'm just typing it on the fly.
Well, how about you tell us a bit about, since your session, tell us about some best practices in terms of modding for PHP BB3.
Okay, before we go into that, let me back up a little bit.
Okay.
And I want to touch on a few things. Yes, Paul.
Dave, first, please talk a bit slower. It's difficult to follow for me. And I
okay.
think for some people also.
Yeah, David gets very excited on this podcast. He loves
yes.
I drink so much imaginable coffee.
Yes.
You
I tried
right
it
before the show starts.
I tried, but it don't work for me, so I just drink enough coffee today, so no.
Okay, I'll try to talk a little slow. Maybe I'll talk like Penta Penguin.
No, thank
and
you.
I
no, thank you.
Like
no,
this.
Please. No, please. No.
I hope you're not listening.
A lot of people at London Vision said they never heard their name pronounced any slower. But it
yes.
was a bit Jeremy. It was pretty funny. That's not a knock on Jeremy. Everybody really liked Jeremy, first of all, but it was just really funny.
Yes. Remember the podcast, David? That was.
Let's get him on this podcast and we can all hear it. We need some more
okay.
styles coverage on the show anyway.
Okay, so anyway, backing up, the support team has a couple new members, BRF
oh, yes?
and Steve Mari.
Mm-hmm.
And iWisdom.
iWisdom, who's in the
And iWisdom,
room.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
I knew I was missing somebody. Yes,
yeah,
so three new members,
yeah.
Jeff, iWisdom, and Steve Mari. I think they're trying to catch up to the moderator team.
Yeah, you know, iWisdom
yes.
and I were talking last night on IRC. Apparently, he's actually quite close to where I am. He's about an hour away. He's over.
Yeah.
Hey, David, you forgot the important addition to the modifications team.
Yeah.
Ram
Halo, was it?
Well, we announced
yes.
that already.
No,
we announced that.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
I don't
remember.
Nope.
Halo was Yes, he was in. He was at the PHP Weekly a couple of days ago or a couple of weeks ago, and made sure you announced it. Remember?
No, I don't.
I don't remember that. So
come on.
I don't think so. We didn't have any PHP Weekly for most of August.
All right. So just in case we missed it, Prime Halo has also been invited to the mod team, and he's part of the mod team now. Yes, I remember announcing.
He's in Northern California. I mean, I've got some California friends now. I remember when I was on the team, I was like the only West Coaster around here.
Well, now you have. There's a Styles team member, Prototech. It lives in California. Darcy from the.
Hold on, I didn't. Well, where's the man?
And also, did you also have the new Style team member? I can't remember that either.
Raymond. Okay. No, I didn't announce that yet. No, I should have last week, but I didn't announce that either.
I
got Prime Halo. Okay, so Raymond.
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 Everybody loves Raymond.
I think everybody
can resist.
I think every Styles team member should know him because of he created the style changes back in when the RC stage was going on. He created that huge topic on style changes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember it?
Yes.
Okay. So that is moving over to the wiki now. And so I noticed he started editing that already, which is great.
I know Raymond in personal, so I know how he is.
The only thing I noticed is that the teams have now crossed. They now have more than 50 team members now. You guys are up to 54.
Yes.
There's 13. Well, Jim UK is actually
left the team.
He's left for health issues, I think. I don't know.
I'm not sure why he left, but that's...
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But it... Fortunate, because it's a long-standing member, and I want to say goodbye to him, because he's been an integral part of PHBBB for a long time, so it's sad to lose him.
Yeah,
there are 13 moderators, there are 13 mod team members, and there are 13 support team members.
Mm-hmm.
So all the three teams are tied now, with 13.
Oh, dear.
I think the support team.
Unlucky number 13.
The support team wanted to catch up with adding three people suddenly: BRF, iWisdom, and Steve Mari.
Well, you know, PHPBB is getting more popular. I think we get more members to help out the support.
Nah, I think the problem is more before a lot of team of us. Small number of team members contributed a lot of time, and now a big number of team members contributes a smaller amount of time average. I think that's one of the main changes. I are now more and more team members.
Mm.
And I think that's better because it's good that we let team members have a life, even though their life ceases to exist as soon as they join the team.
Yes, exactly.
But now less so than before because I think, you know, it can be draining after a while. Because you're volunteering your time. Nobody's getting paid to do this. So you're volunteering your time. And so I think it's good that nobody gets burned out.
Cool. All right. So now that you've gotten that out of the way.
Now that we've gotten that out of the way. all right, so best practices, and I'll post a little bit about this too. I've already written some of it up, but I was just reading somebody.
Actually, just especially in the convention, it's more lively at a funeral. Like 20 minutes now without talking. All right. Anyway, type and talk at the same time.
Okay.
What is wrong with that? I can type blind, so.
Douglas, I'll probably have to cut this really, really short because, I mean, we're already at an hour and I don't think we need to prolong the inevitable.
Well,
I'm going to type all this out anyways, pretty much.
But we can do 2 hours. That will be a new record. So
No. No, I don't want to do that.
We have N a modding list of. Weekly and Douglas is there, so
I'm here all day. I am here all day, pretty much.
Yeah, you're right. I think Paul just wants to to use up all my time slot for this session.
My session is next. My session
yes,
is next.
I'm going to
if
steal,
I didn't
I'm,
drink coffee, then I missed the first part. So
I'm going to steal your session time.
Here, David.
No, you are going.
If you make me go
aren't.
Over.
David, here's
no,
what you,
you
do.
Aren't.
David.
Because I missed already my session time this afternoon.
Okay, this you know, this feud, I haven't seen this kind of a feud at a convention since the Hillary and Obama primary.
Oh. This isn't nearly so bad.
David, tell us about it now. Then when I do the Modern Style of the Week, flood the mod convention with everything you've written. Then it will be 11 o'clock. Then it will be the end of the session, and we can move on. No one will have time to ask you any questions, but it'll work.
Okay.
So, tell us about this stuff.
All right. Okay. Best practices for PHP3. Well, basically, when I say best practices, I'm not talking about like code formatting and coding guidelines and stuff like that. While that is certainly a best practice to do, you know, you want to make sure that your code format does adhere to the PHP3 coding guidelines, which are meant to help mod authors. And really, the coding guidelines were meant for a purpose. They're meant, especially code formatting, why everything is done the way it's done, why function names are done the way they are, spaces, why brackets are on new lines, all that kind of stuff. The reason for all that, why it's actually an importance in PHP3 is because it makes reading the code a whole lot easier. You know, I don't know how many of you have opened up a framework and looked at the code and gone, gosh, you know, that is sure hard to read. And it's because they are using a code formatting that is not easily readable. And one of the things that developers wanted to do was they wanted to make sure the code was easily readable, because as long as the code is easily readable, it's a lot easier to develop with, because then you're not spending a lot of time trying to figure out how this function does what it does. You know, you want to see exactly where it does it and how, and be able to add code to it, whatever, without having to read any comments. There are two rules of thumb that I go by. First of all, one is...
Slow down a bit, David. You're getting excited.
Yeah, sorry. one is... your code should be written well enough that you don't need any comments to figure out how it works. And the second one is your code should be documented well enough that you shouldn't have to read any of the code to figure out how it works. Now, obviously the second one can be a little overdone. Like, you don't want to just, like, comment every little thing that you're writing, but you want to comment the functions and the more complex things and stuff like that that might be a little bit more difficult for some people to read.
My rule of thumb is that if someone can't figure out what you're trying to do just by looking at the code, comment it.
Yeah.
Yes, I disagree, actually. If you look at the code, you always should be able to find out what someone is doing.
Yeah.
You should not need the comment.
But that doesn't
no, mean... shouldn't. It, well, that I agree with, and that's why I have two rules of thumb, not one.
Okay. David has two thumbs. That's very important.
Yes, I have two thumbs, and I'm going to use them both. Yeah, that's why your code should be written well enough that nobody should have to read, or that you shouldn't need comments at all.
Now, in PHP-ABB3, are there funny comments? Like, I know in PHP-ABB2, there was the classic case of, let's do the loop. Come on, let's do the loop, baby, and it goes like this. Remember that?
There are some funny comments in PHP3.
Yes.
I think there was a topic on Area 51 a while back that talked about that, but it's been a little while, so I don't remember.
Yes, there was a topic about.
And it goes like this.
Yes, there is still some funny comments, but... So anyway, yeah. The coding guidelines are important, and certainly they are. You know, like Douglas was asking yesterday, if I went to mod for a PHPBB, what's the first thing I should know? And everybody said, "Install PHP. You should know PHP." Okay, what's the second thing I should know? PHPBB.
Then I asked, suppose I already have done mods for PHPBB2, which I have. Now, what's the first thing I need to know for PHPBB3? And then you said coding guidelines.
Coding guidelines, absolutely. It's the first thing that every mod author should read, and several times over. Until
I've read it a dozen times since 2006.
Do you remember like it, the back of your hand?
I remember a good amount of it. I was reading through the coding guidelines a lot, and I was reading it and asking a whole bunch of questions to one of the developers and to Eric about it. As I was reading through it, I remember this clearly. 2 years ago, I was on the mod team and doing this. I think I was sitting in the bathroom while reading it. yes, too much information. Sorry about that.
Yes, that was too much information.
Okay, so after the coding guidelines, what comes next?
Well, after the coding guidelines...
Finding new time to write your editing mod.
There you go.
Pretty much after the coding guidelines, it really depends on what part you're going to mod. Because now you've been reading the coding guidelines and you completely understood everything that's going on there, pretty much begin modding there. You know, you don't need anything else beyond the coding guidelines to begin modding. But, again, it just depends on where you're trying to mod, because you might be looking at a certain section and you want to figure out how that works. Well, now you have the source code documentation. The source code documentation is utilizing the doc block comments within the code to create the source code documentation. So it's created all automatically. Nobody actually wrote that in those pages. It's all written in the code, and then the code is rendered into these pages, the source code documentation. And that will give you a good idea of how the classes work, how the functions work, and there's so many of them that, you know, you don't want to just go through and just start reading all of them. You want to figure out what kind of mod you want to create, and based on that mod, you know, it's like, okay, I want to do something within the user control panel, for example. Then you might want to read about the user control panel classes and understand how the modules work together and how to create a new module and that sort of thing, so that you get a good idea of how that part of the system works. And then you can go to the wiki and read documentation there on how to create a new module or whatever it might be, and follow tutorial. There are some tutorials on the wiki, and that's going to increase as well over time. Tutorials will increase, and that will make it easier for beginning mod authors to start developing for PHP 3. And of course, you can be a experienced coder and a beginning mod author at the same time.
Check it out. I found. I just pasted a link in the chat room that I found without any help. I love myself now.
There you go. Creating modules. Look at that.
Yes, there's also one here for adding modules, which is good, because, you know, when I was on the team looking at this stuff, trying to write my first PHP BB3 mod, and there was this whole dot mods thing, I was like, what the heck is this? How the heck am I supposed to add a module through this system?
Is
it supposed to be automatic, or am I supposed to tell the administrator to go down into system modules, fancy stuff, and figure out how to add this module to the right category tab thing? I couldn't even figure out how to do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, thank you very much for this.
What's interesting, adding modules actually, adding modules, that's more user documentation, so it really shouldn't be in there, but...
No, I think this is good because quite frankly, unless I'm wrong, it appears that if you're going to add a module as part of a mod, then it's going to be up to the mod author to tell the user, this is how you add my admin panel into your admin control panel. You have to do it through this module setup. And so the mod authors need to know how to tell the users how to install this part of their mod.
Yeah, that's true.
It's important to have here. And it sure isn't anybody anywhere else.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
I created that page. But, okay, so...
You're saying, I'm sorry.
Anyway, so there's adding modules and creating modules. Creating modules, and then you use the adding modules to build your modx file,
the
instructions.
Will be on our website.
So, anyway, going back to the topic best practices, when I'm talking about best practices, I'm actually talking about three things: compatibility, scalability, and security. The three main things with modding. And a lot of these three things people don't think about when they're creating mods. And you'll see a lot of mods that aren't scalable, they aren't secure, or they aren't compatible. Mm. And you know, it is a problem, and that's why we talk about it. So with compatibility, obviously that's modding in such a way that it's going to be compatible with updates to PHPBB. It's going to be compatible with future mods that are installed on the board. It's going to be, you know, compatible with obviously any existing mod, and it's also going to make it easier for the mod author to update that mod. Scalability is making your mod, it's coding your mod in such a way that it's best for performance and optimization. Optimization and performance are both included within scalability. For example, let's say you put a query within a loop. And, well, for example, like I was using last night, the example I used was subforms. Like somebody created a mod that would list how many users were online on a specific forum and subforum. And that meant that you're creating, or that meant he would created two queries within the loop for the subforms. Well, now all of a sudden, if you have a forum with 150 subforums, you now have 300 additional queries on top of the existing 12 or 11, or, you know, it just depends on what kind of settings you have. But, you know, so now all of a sudden, instead of 12 queries for the index page for every single person, there is 312 queries on the index page for every single person. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you what you can imagine that will do to your server with load time or whatever. For example, Joomla.org, I worked a bit with Brad. Brad is the forum, he's the administrator, the server administrator for Joomla, and so he handles installing mods in their PHPBB board and stuff like that, because they like to have some custom things, and so they've actually installed quite a few PHPBB 3 mods. Unfortunately, not every author thinks about scalability when they're coding their mods. And so you will have somebody who puts a query inside of a loop, and all of a sudden on a board like Joomla, where you have thousands of members online at the same time, it will kill the board. It will kill the server. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not completely kill it, but it may cause just really high load times, or database connections that aren't closed, result queries that aren't closed, or whatever. It could consume a lot of memory or whatever it might be. This is all as a result of the mod author not thinking about scalability when they're programming their mod, not making it really scalable. And yes, I even occasionally make that mistake, you know, in a, like the advanced, or what was it called? The activity stats mod. There was a query in there that counted the number of, what was it? It was, let's see. Okay, the number of new users, I believe. Yes, the number of new users within the last 24 hours. Problem number one is that the query that I had was doing a where clause on a table column within the users table that does not have an index. So it's basically scanning all of the rows within that table. And it does that very slowly, especially if you have a lot of them, if you don't have an index on it. So all of a sudden with a board that was in Canada that was really massive, had a couple million posts and hundreds of thousands of users, all of a sudden that became a big problem for them. So we either had to create a new index or create a new query that it was just ran a whole lot faster, and, you know, that worked. And so, you know, that was, again, something that that was improved with a little scalability optimization. And so, you know, it's important for mod authors to think about such things. And like security, nobody codes insecurely on purpose. It's just simply a lack of knowledge or education on the security concepts. So like, you know, nobody's purposefully programming in SQL injections. It's just a lack of knowledge and awareness of that.
That's actually not true. I wrote one modification that has explicitly SQL injection.
Oh, quiet.
All right, hold on. I'll be quiet.
Yeah, but okay.
Nobody normal
for the most
does
part,
that. Paul, you don't fit into that normal category. But
okay. Yes, there
does it on purpose. So.
Yes, there are some people who actually do it on purpose. But I'm saying, for the most part, people don't purposefully code insecurities in their mods.
Oh.
Except for Paul. No, but really, people don't really code insecurities in their mods on purpose. What it usually is, and, you know, like I'll browse through the PHPFI pastebin, and the code that you go through there, if you happen upon PHP code that contains any SQL queries, about 80% of the time it has some sort of SQL injection, like I said last night. And of the PHP code that exists on those pastebins, about about 40 to 50% of them create some kind of, or contain some kind of exploit, from cross-site scripting to SQL injections or various other exploits and vulnerabilities. But it just means that the developer who developed that code was not thinking about the security issues as he was creating the code. And the best way to prevent yourself from creating code like that is to first gain knowledge about what that is. What is an SQL injection? And how does it work? Because if you recognize how it works and what it is, you will be able to prevent it in your code. Simply by using the built-in functions, first of all, within PHPB3, which include request var, it includes the DB SQL escape, and it also includes typecasting your integers and your float variables. So things like that, you know, it's very, very simple to prevent. All you need is the knowledge on how to do it and be aware of it as you're coding. Never think that what you're coding is going to be secure, because more likely than not, if you believe that, somebody will eventually find a vulnerability in it and post it all over the internet, and every hacker on the planet will do a search and find all the mods installed on boards.
And interestingly enough, it will be PHPBB that gets blamed for it.
Of course, it will be PHPBB that gets blamed for it. But regardless, you know, what will happen is that they'll do a search and they'll find all the mods that are installed, all the boards that have this particular mod installed with this vulnerability, exploit that vulnerability, and all this, it might be an SQL injection or whatever. And, then they can do all kinds of damage to the site. As we saw with, like, Santiworm. You remember that?
Yes, we talked about that about a year ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, so there are things like that are caused by just, somebody finding an exploit, posting it on the internet, all kinds of, thousands of hackers the whole bit and just damage the internet. I mean, that's actually what we saw earlier this year between January 1st and sometime in June is when I looked last. There were some 400,000 pages hacked. Now, obviously, it wasn't 400,000 sites. It was 400,000 pages that were hacked using SQL injections within IIS servers. Mm-hmm. And those are Microsoft servers, basically.
So
it's an ASP code.
In short, you're saying the most important thing for modders for PHPBB3, obviously you have said on here, David, I don't know how many times you said, we should start a drinking game on how many times you said this. And if you watch London Invasion videos, they say the same thing. The biggest thing with PHPBB3 has been security.
Yeah, it's been
the main product. And so for modding for PHPBB3, the most important thing is security.
Yeah,
and yes, we can start a drinking game on that.
Yeah, and of course, I'm sure many of you remember that PHPBB still has a bad reputation for security because of things like the Santiworm that came out for PHPBB2, and it affected hundreds of thousands of sites, and everybody pointed back to PHPBB, even though we had fixed it before, not everybody's going to instantly update, and as soon as that exploit was discovered, it was exploited by it was exploited on hundreds of thousands of sites, and so it became a big problem. So, but anyway, we learned our lesson, of course, and now since then, we are very, very focused on making sure that everything we do is absolutely secure. And that is one reason that HTML does not exist in PHPBB3. We're trying to prevent the users from making their own board insecure. Now, HTML in and of itself, the way it worked in PHPBB2 was not actually insecure. It was the way it was used by the administrators. Now, they're not always going to know better, though. So, it's not – that can be helped. You can still do things like exploit BB code in such a way. You can create a vulnerable BB code that will allow you to exploit the site. Spambot who was Spambot, now Albert F., and I created a board that we basically tried that. We created vulnerable BB codes and hacked them. However, you have to be actually really, really stupid to create a BB code that way, or completely like doing something that you are purposefully allowing HTML by using BB codes. And I've seen a site that does do that. They're like, we want to allow HTML within our code, so they created a BB code that will allow them to use HTML within that BB code. And you know what? They're going to have a problem with that because somebody's going to figure that out and they're going to hack the site, or they're going to, you know, you can use it to gain the administrator's password and they may never know about it until something bad happens. And then we see a new ticket crop up on the incident tracker because somebody's site got hacked and it was something stupid that they did.
Just remember, you don't always trust reputations, because if you did, you would think that Obama is an experienced and McCain is a maverick. reputations don't mean much. They're stereotypes, pretty much. So, there you go.
Yeah, but it's what the web uses, you know.
I know, unfortunately, yeah. They're stereotypes, but people use them still, so.
Yeah. So, you know, what can you do? Well, what we did is we did the security audit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, we have a security team, a dedicated security team that deals with the incident tracker, deals with the security tracker. So any security vulnerabilities that are posted, they review them and they, you know, check to see if they are indeed vulnerabilities or not. For the incident tracker, it's sites that are hacked where they'll post their, you know, it's like, I've been hacked, and okay, let's figure out why and how it happened and what it was from. And, you know, sometimes we'll find a vulnerable mod and we'll go and talk to the mod author and pull the mod or whatever needs to be done to ensure that other people are not affected in that way. But, you know, so that's what we do. But I would say the majority of the time it's not because of any software that they have installed, except for the host. Like cPanel has quite a few exploits that are out there that, you know, people are running old versions of cPanel or whatever, and even newer versions have some exploits. But point being that that's where currently the majority of hack sites come from, is from a web control panel such as cPanel or other control panel. And that's why I will not install a control panel on my site. I just will not do it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to risk the vulnerability. I had a control panel on one of the servers that I had, and somebody hacked it. Somebody deleted several of my sites through it. So I know about it.
Okay. Since we are, I know, David, you don't like us to take forever, and you do have you still have 1/4 of your session left in the convention. Anything to wrap up your thing, and then we'll move on to mod style.
No, not really. We'll just close with basically for the mod convention, we will, as usual, we'll give a summary of everything that was discussed. And, you know, it's definitely a good thing for mod authors to do. I've seen that there was quite a bit of activity, especially last night and even today. There's quite mod authors who are in there and watching, and, you know, they're wanting to learn from this, and it's great. You know, it was one of the ways that I got involved in PHPBB last year. I was very active within the...
You came on PHPBB Weekly that I did last year and kind of helped save it to make it actually sound good. Man, I think we've kind of improved our convention coverage then, or else not improved it, depending on your opinion of how we should cover it.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. We are going on long, so we'll get out of here. The mod of the week, I kind of tried to pick a mod that had a bit of a convention theme, a presidential theme, and I thought, what's more presidential convention theme-like than a mod that deals with polls? And so this mod deals with polls. It actually extends it into the concept of surveys, and this mod is called Tabulated Survey at Topic Head. It's by Asin Shesk. And he actually wrote a version of this for PHPBB2, and so this is a port of that over to PHPBB3. But the idea is that this allows users to be able to extend PHPBB's polls functionality into much larger surveys that are associated with a topic. They can be limited to only users of certain groups, if you choose to. And there's a lot of settings that are available to the administrator to define how users input answers and how these responses are totaled and maximum number of users that can respond to questions. But then the user can then create these surveys that there's a link, there's like a button within the topic. They click on the button and it opens up a new window for the survey, and they can answer the survey. There's things like names, the different kinds of questions that can be answered. And in a way, it's kind of like having SurveyMonkey built right into PHP-BB3 for you. So if you're the kind of website that likes to get surveys from users quite frequently, or maybe you do your own little straw polls for the presidential candidates or anything else, this is probably a mod you'll want to take a look at. There's a lot of stuff in there to let you control how it works, and so there's a lot of stuff in there to delve into. So I'll let you go and check it out for yourself, but that is the mod of the week, Tabulated Survey at Topic Head by Asinshesk. And then the style of the week, I did promise that whenever the new styles database finally accepted some styles in there for PHP-BB3, I would make the very first style accepted in there the style of the week. Last week, like 20 minutes before the show started, I found out that the styles database had opened, and so this week, the style of the week is, interestingly enough, a style done by the phpbb.com styles team, or styles robot, if you'd like to look at it literally. And it's called Pro Silver Special Edition, and this is a very interesting style like none I've ever seen before. Yes, I'm kind of joking. Essentially what this is actually the style used on phpbb.com minus the header, the fancy images they use on the header and the links. It's essentially the same as the regular Pro Silver, except it has sort of a gray background, it's fixed width, and instead of using the light blue style, it uses the same gray style that you see on phpbb.com. And it's made by the teams, it's released by the teams, and there you go. I don't know if David has anything more to say about it.
I am afraid really. David is too busy with other things currently, so...
Oh, he's publishing he's flooding his Think channel with a book now.
Yes, it's...
Everything he's just told us, he's now pasting in there.
I see the number of logs I saw from 200 to 250 kilobytes growing in a few minutes, so it's not normal.
While you're posting that, David, or maybe Paul can answer, I'm surprised you guys are actually releasing the theme that you use on phpbb.com out here on the styles demo.
It's not really.
It's pretty close. It's like a silver version of it, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a modified Pro Silver with the gray colors. That's, I think, the only changes that's made to it. So.
What I find strange, though, is that I like how you guys released this extra style on the styles database. Why didn't you guys just do that for Sub Silver 2 rather than bundling it with PHP-BB3?
I have no idea, really. It's a styles team thing. So
yeah. It's maintained by the styles team and, of course, came out later, after.
Yeah. I don't know. In my opinion, I would think perhaps what you guys should do is clean out the PHP-BB3 package a bit by not making SubSilver 2 included, and instead make SubSilver 2 an available download on the style database, if you do with the Pro Silver Special Edition.
I have no idea why they did choose for this. It's really a Styles Team thing.
Yeah. Oh, well. Pro Silver Special Edition by Styles Robot. As it says on there. The Styles Team, it is going to be the style of the week. But I'm certainly looking to see some more interesting styles showing up in the Styles database. I think they have like 13 on there now or something like that. Lucky number 13 again, so... Cool stuff. It's great to see the styles demo working again. I'm so happy about that.
There are 18 styles in the demo.
Thank you.
Yes.
I didn't have time to count, so I'm just randomly guessing.
I'm just looking at the topic count.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so closing out our coverage of the Mod Authors Convention, our website is phpbbweekly.net. You can find show notes and links to a lot of the stuff we've talked about in this show. All of our other episodes are on there as well. If you have any comments, suggestions, other things you want to tell us about, our forum is at StarTrekGuide.com. You can go on there. Our next episode will be next week, number 77, Saturday, September 6th, It will be the first segment of our Building a Successful Community feature, which means that it will be something that I get to talk about instead of David having to do all the work. And we're going to be talking a bit about some of the things if you're considering getting started with a new community, if you're thinking about getting a new community started from scratch, getting it going from the ground up. We're going to be talking a bit about some of the things you should start considering, some of the things you need to address when you want to consider whether you are going to be able to invest in creating a new community, and also some ideas on communities that you can build. And so we'll be talking about that. And if you have built a successful community and you want to share your ideas, please join us in the chat room or call in, and we'd love to get ideas from you. Again, the show is an open forum for anyone who wants to contribute, and so that's also what I'm hoping this segment on building a successful community will be, as we do have multiple installments of it going on into the next few months. So that will be next Saturday at the usual time, noon Eastern, 1600 UTC time. And PHP BB Weekly is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Techpodcast.com is where you can go for some other great technology podcasts just like this one. Thanks, Paul, for joining us as one of our wonderful political modding analyzers. Yeah, for the convention.
No problem. Yes. I like to do it.
And yeah, it's always great to have you on. And David as well, who is
me.
Yes. David's been flooded right now.
We are at 300 kilobyte now, so it's not bad.
And apparently the people in the convention are saying that David's boring.
Yes, but that's old news. We know he's boring.
I think he's quite interesting. He sure makes the show interesting.
It's not interesting. It's all things that I know already.
That's because you're a team member. Make me do an episode of this show without David, and we will redefine the meaning of boring.
Although it's something that Paul knows, it's not something he practices.
Oh, less practices. And I'm Douglas Bell. And so that wraps up this episode. Remember, a successful community begins with you. Tag, you're it. Thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next week. Bye.